The one thing I did, so we were talking about, I talked about with a couple of people yesterday, you know, why would Joseph have to be 13 years, which is a number of rebellion, as we've heard. Why would he be 13 years? And one explanation is the coat of many colors could also be translated as the coat of long sleeves. And you're like, I'm like, yeah, well, so coat of long sleeves. So those who were out doing the work were not wearing long sleeves, but they're wearing short sleeves because they didn't want their sleeves to get dirty. So if you're wearing long sleeves, as Jeremy is, oh, he's taking them off. If you're wearing long sleeves, you didn't do the work because you didn't want your sleeves to get dirty. So when Joseph came walking out to his brothers in his long sleeves, he's out there like remembering his dreams. I'm going to rule over you. Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
If somebody wants to lead singing this morning, they can too. But he don't ask me to. Last time I was last sing a solo, it was very low on a hill far away. But my uncle said the only singer in the family growing up was a sewing machine. So, anyway, he had the long sleeves, so he was coming out. I don't have to do the work. He remembers dreams. And the boy says, here comes that dreamer. So I'm the boss. I'm in charge. So 13 years, you know, there was probably some pride, probably some rebellion. Think about your own lives, as humble as you are. At 17, you're all very humble, right?
Yes.
You're all understand, you're all very proud of your humbleness, yes. Like our son Titus said, he wrote the book, The 10 Most Humble People in the World and How He Taught the Other 9. So, anyway, think about that. He's very proud of that, too. Never mind. Anyway, so Joseph, over the next 13 years, was learning humbleness, humility, and serving, which is one of the contrasts as we get into the outline and whatever you guys just be looking down. The contrast of Jesus was he came as the one in authority and came in all humility. If anybody needs to look that up, I don't know what the scripture is. But he came as the one, the Prince of Power, in all humility. Joseph is probably the contrast of that, was getting made possibly proud and puffed up and had to learn old humbleness. And when he became second in command of all Egypt, sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, he served. The only one he didn't have authority was Pharaoh, where Christ was equal. Somebody can think of where this at, the reference. He was equal with God, but did not consider himself there. If anybody can remember that reference, let's read that. Philippians 2. Oh, you iPad users here. You ever think about Joseph? If he would have been living in this day and age, the 10 brothers would all had used cars, and Daddy would have bought him that Dodge 2013 Dodge Charger. What's that?
I said I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so you see the analogy, Jim? They would have all been, if they had computers, they would have had some old PC, and Joseph would have been getting the newest and latest, greatest iPad thing, right? So, he would have been getting the latest and greatest toys, probably. So, was it Philippians?
Which verse were you looking for?
What's your chapter?
Chapter 2. But which verse were you looking for?
The one where he learned all, where Jesus was all humility.
The 2:7 made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. So instead of Joseph and Jesus being like, he was. There's a little bit of a contrast there. So, anyway, anybody look down the list? Anything anybody wants to discuss? Anybody got some real good insight? Since you're all just reading this list for the first time. Hey, I know. You can come up the front row and sit, you know, right up here. Or you can bring another chair up. Sit by DJ. Keep an eye on you. So, anybody, do you have something?
Oh, no, I just thought it was really cool. Number 20, it says, Judas suggests the idea of selling his brother. And then the Greek name for Judah is Judas.
Mm-hmm. I'd read through this list a couple times before I came down here, and I was actually reading the list again this morning, and that one struck me too. I think maybe because we have a gentleman here this, at camp this week that whose name is Judah. So we were getting coffee together this morning. I thought about calling him Judas, but no, to see if he knew that. But yeah, the Greek name for Judah is Judas. So, yeah, Judah came up with the idea of selling his brother. And Judas betrayed Christ. What's the difference, though, between what Judah, he took time to really repent, right? What did Judas do?
He hung himself
on a tree. He's like, what have I done? Oh, no. And went out, felt sorry for himself, said, sorry. Without really repenting. So I can come up here and hit DJ, say, sorry, and not really mean it, right? But he's greatly offended. I just did that. And so I need to truly repent and apologize. He's giving me a stern look. You're waiting? That was wrong of me to use a bad example of you. So.
Use the word sorry.
He didn't really forgive me either, but.
So. If you walk down this two-way street all day.
But he knew it wasn't like I was mean. Anyway, so. Trying to excuse my behavior. Okay. Anybody see anything else?
Number 45, talking about how Joseph and Jesus shared the throne, but Jesus shares the throne with the Father and Joseph shared the throne with Pharaoh. But it's a picture of sitting at the right hand of Christ.
Right hand of God, yeah. I love my favorite of talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God is Acts chapter 7. When Stephen is being stoned, he says, this is Acts 7, starting in 54. When they heard these things, that is the Pharisees and the other people, and who else was standing there watching over the coats?
Saul.
Later, Paul. When they heard these things, they cut to heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Thinking about hell, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. So they gnashed their teeth. Anybody know what gnashing the teeth is? Is it kind of grinding the teeth or something? Okay. Thank you. We need those teeth out. Okay. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, at the right hand of God, verse 56, he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he's calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And with that, when he had said this, he fell asleep. I love that. Do not charge them with this sin. What did Christ say on the cross? Father, forgive them, they know what they're doing. I think Joseph was a good example of that too. Forgiving his brothers. There's a little thing about forgiving though. When did Christ forgive you? When did Christ forgive you? For those who know Christ, when did Christ forgive you? When you asked him to. When you asked him to, yeah. When you said, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Please forgive me my sins." When was that forgiveness available? Yeah, before you asked. Correct. That needs, so when I hit DJ, his attitude need to become, "I'm willing to forgive Emery when he's ready to repent." Okay? Notice Joseph with his brothers didn't just say, "My brothers, oh, I forgive you. Look, I'm in charge." Right? He tested them. He tested them to truly see if they had a heart of repentance. So that's something to remember in relationships. If somebody hurts you, you have to have the mind of Christ. Have to have the mind of Christ, ready to forgive. Otherwise, what happens with unforgiveness in your heart? The attitude?
You become bitter.
Bitter. When something becomes bitter, what happens with it? Proverbs says about bitterness, the bones become brittle. So you get brittle, you get broken, you become a shriveled up prune. Now seriously, look at people walking around with, especially older people. Okay, I'll be 55 this in October. So think 55 and older, okay? So let's pick on Emery a little bit, but 55 and older, somebody who's walked around with unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart. Look at their faces. Look at the countenance. Go to your assembly or wherever. Look at somebody who's 80 years old and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and look at their countenance. Then go out in the street, watch somebody walking around possibly with a cigarette in their hand, looking mad at the world. And look at their face. Generally more wrinkles, more of a down, sad look all the time, or mad look. That's what unforgiveness, that's what bitterness will do to you. Now, that's just the outward. So you can imagine what's going on the inside. Dried up, bitter, brittle bones. Guys need to sing along with next door. Anybody else got one they looked at? Call out names. Then you'll say, "You forgot my name." Yeah, you're right.
Number 49, it says, like, I don't really get this one, but it says, like, as Joseph did not become his people's savior until after his death, burial, and resurrection. But I don't really get that, I guess. Right here, 49. But it's like death, burial, and resurrection.
Oh, man. The true name, let's see. Okay, Joseph received from Pharaoh a new name, 41:45. That's Genesis, which I talked a little about yesterday. As God gave Jesus Christ a new name, so let's look at Philippians 2:9-10. Why don't you look up that one, Rochelle? Who else has a Bible? John.
Which one?
Oh, how many are there? John Mark. No, this is John. Aha. Peter. You're Peter. I had John. Okay. Peter, can you look up that Matthew 1:21? And then Josiah. See, I remembered your name. Acts 5:31. Let's just read through those. So, no, there's Josiah that was going like this. Okay, you got it, Rochelle? Philippians 2:9-10. And Peter, Matthew 1:21.
And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Then Joseph, Acts 5:31.
Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
So he's given the name Jesus at his birth, which means savior. But then you ask, Rochelle, but Jesus could not save his people from their sins until after his death?
Well, it says Joseph could not save.
Like, she's talking about how she's wondering what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When
his death be like when they threw him into the pit?
Threw him in the pit.
His burial would be in the pit, and his resurrection would be when he was brought up from the pit, or when he was put up into...
When he was...
Brought up the whole time. I mean, you could look at the whole 13 years as in the pit, in the grave.
Okay, got it.
So that's true. When the Pharaoh seated him at the right hand of power, he did give him a new name. He didn't get that name until he was raised up out of the dungeon where Jesus was given, well, actually it's prophesied way before.
What the lamp ever do to you?
Just, it's nice lamp. I'll quit gesturing. So. This morning I was actually looking at number 52 there. 51 and 52. Joseph's exaltation was followed by a season of plenty, so they had their 7 years of plenty. The comment there is, this time is known as the time of the Gentiles, and in Romans 11:25 mentions that, in John 24. 12:24, excuse me. So then in 52, Joseph's exaltation was followed by a period of famine, and that's chapter 41, 53, and 54. So this is A.W. Pink's comment here, okay? But it seems kind of makes sense. The time of the Gentiles will come to an end, and the time of Jacob's trouble, which is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 30, we can look at that, will begin. This would be week 70, as mentioned in Daniel. And then see the reference there in Mark. It will be a very grievous time, as similar to what the time of the famine. And it will be a time when the whole earth, a picture of all of Egypt, will be tried. So Revelation 3:10. Now, think about this, too, when we talk about the Exodus coming out of Egypt. All the famines. So I'm not sure where Goshen is in relationship to Egypt. I've never looked at a map. I don't know. Does anybody know where Goshen is? Is it smack dab in the middle, or I don't know, maybe closer to the border? But when they came out of the land of Goshen, the plagues happened everywhere but in Goshen. So I believe that's a picture of the wrath of God being poured out on the world in the coming revelation.
The land of Goshen is on the east side of the Nile. It's right near the Red Sea.
Right near the Red Sea, so they didn't have a little trouble. A future teen just walked in. So, anyway. So, but, so there's a picture there of what's going to happen in, and I never thought about it until I was rereading this morning, when, so that time of famine also, that 7 years, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, what happens, as in the days of Noah, before the appearing of Christ, as in the days of Noah, they were what? Eating and drinking, giving into marriage, all that kind of stuff. So life was normal, life was good, life was happy. What are you talking about, Noah? A flood? Huh. Look at us, we got it good. So it'd be a time when the whole earth is tried, and so. So Amos 8:11 and 12 call for the famine of the coming, the famine of the word of God. So there is a picture. I believe throughout all the Old Testament, there's a picture. I listened to J. Vernon McGee. He died in 19. What year was Hannah born? 89. I think he died in 1988. I remember when I heard them. You know, you're supposed to remember these major events. Like, where were you on 9/11 when the planes hit the World Trade Center? Where were you? You know, some of you may be too young to even really realize that. So, yeah.
I was probably 1 year old, so I was probably with mom.
Okay. See, to me, that's, 1 year old. And so, but when you hear of some major event happening throughout your life, sometimes you remember where you're at. And I remember we were up in Wisconsin helping some people up there getting this little retreat. They were a ministry retreat thing going, building. And the guy comes, we were staying at their house, and he comes into the kitchen that morning and goes, J. Vernon McGee died last night. So none of you know who J. Vernon McGee is, okay? Because he died. But he was an old Southern Baptist preacher. He had a walk through the Bible. And so you can find him on Voices for Christ. He'll be a little bit hard for you guys to listen to because he's got this raspy voice and he talks like this. So, but he was a sharp man, word of God. Just, he didn't hold back. And he was talking about, if you want to understand Revelation, which is the 66th book of the Bible, know the first 65. So whenever I look, so when that saw that this morning about 7 years of famine, I went, that would make sense how it fits in with Revelation. The Exodus, all the plagues, all the wrath, all bowls of wrath being poured out in Egypt makes sense with the Revelation. So 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Jacob's trouble. So what did Jacob say to his sons? Why have you troubled me? So it does make sense. Go quickly to Jeremiah, and then somebody else will have one they really like here real soon. Jeremiah 30. What do you think? You think we'll hear that song tonight? Yeah, but tonight in the meeting, fruit of the Spirit. So Jeremiah, it starts in 30 verse 5. Now it says, the Lord, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask now and see whether man is even in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loin like a woman in labor? All faces turn pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is a time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So, God is not finished with the nation of Israel, or the children of Israel. He remembers his promises and his covenants. So, who else has something? Or we can have another half hour of silence on them. No.
I think number 38 is pretty cool. It says Joseph was put in prison, the tomb, but God would not allow him to remain there because God's purpose for Joseph was not yet fulfilled. So it was with Jesus Christ. God would not allow him to remain in the tomb. And Joseph changed his prison clothes for clothes of glory, as did Jesus Christ.
Yes. Very good. God was going to raise him up and not allow him to remain there. So, how many days was Christ in the tomb? Three. Yes, Josiah. Oh, three. I thought, okay. And why 3 days? Anybody remember? Yes, Joy.
Because he said that I'll destroy the temple and in 3 days I'll build it up. The temple represents his body.
That's one. Yeah, there's one. But there's another one. The 3 days worked out because the Passover happened on Thursday. The day after the Passover is a Sabbath, which would have been Friday, and then their regular Sabbath on Saturday, and then he arose from the grave on the first day of the week. And if you, Warren Henderson and I can't remember if it was the meeting when you would have been here with John or an evening meeting, he mentioned about the lamb was placed in a pen for 4 days to see if it had any blemish, to see any illness. So on the first day of the week, Christ entered Jerusalem, which we call Palm Sunday, all the people singing hallelujah. And the Pharisees said, tell these people to be quiet. And he says, if you tell these to be quiet, the stones will raise up. So 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he went in and cleansed his father's temple. Zeal for his father's house. He arrested on a Wednesday night, tried. And that's mentioned in here. False accusations, right? Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And Jesus was falsely accused by Pharisees, but they paid a couple guys to lie. So, I went down that rabbit trail. Where were we at? Oh yeah, why 3 days? Why 3 days in the tomb? Why Jesus 3 days in the tomb? Joseph 13 years in enslavement, rebellion, training. Okay, But why Jesus 3 days in the tomb? He told the Pharisees the only sign he would give them is
the sign of Jonah.
Sign of Jonah. Okay.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, the only sign he's going to give them is a sign of Jonah. So that is also why he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So when he's referring to this, he's referring to himself. Same thing when he's talking to Peter upon this rock, same words, this rock. He's referring to himself. So a lot of people take that as Peter is the foundation of the church. Who was the cornerstone that was rejected? Christ, yeah. Jesus Christ. So it's got to be the same rock throughout. Picture Samson. Where did he want to go? After his eyes were gouged out, and he told the one who was with him, take me where?
Between the
what's that?
Between the pillars.
So between the pillars, and he would have been standing on the, does anybody know what?
Foundation?
The capstone, which is a picture of Christ, the chief stone, because these two pillars would have come up and held the roof up. So that was the chief stone for holding the whole building up. So he wanted to go stand on the capstone. He finally, when he became blind, then he could see, pushed the pillars aside. He died to Christ. He was crucified with Christ. We could learn a lot from Samson too. We live our lives as Samson. So, you say, Jesus told the Pharisees, you say you were blind, but now you say you see, but you're truly blind. Something. And we become blind to yourself. Anybody else got one?
Number 33, Joseph won the respect of his jailer. I always like the story of the centurion at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus being crucified, and everyone's just like, oh yeah, come down, show us that you're who you said you are. And then that centurion is like, surely this is the son of God. Like, it's like, wow, that's true. And then, like, he's like one person in the whole crowd.
I have no answer to this. What did that centurion see about Jesus? Because he had been, if he was a centurion that had been at many executions, what did he see different? Yeah, Joy.
He wouldn't accept the pain pillar.
That was one. He wouldn't accept that painkiller, yes.
He didn't fight back, but instead he asked the Father to forgive them.
Mm-hmm. What's it say in Isaiah about Christ?
He went like a lamb to the slaughter.
Lamb to the slaughter. How's a lamb go to the slaughter?
Silently.
Guys, if you ever get a chance, YouTube, like sheep, YouTube, sheep shearing, and the lamb being sheared doesn't make a sound. Same as a lamb that's being slaughtered. They might have slaughtering a lamb on there on YouTube. I don't know if they would. But let's just go with sheep. Just go with sheep shearing, unless you want to see the blood. Yeah. But yeah, they're silent. I when we were talking about this one time when I YouTubed it, the only baaing you hear in the whole thing is the sheep elsewhere in the background, but not Jesus. So, or not the one being sheared, excuse me. We would all been crying out in pain. No. I thought in the movie The Passion of Christ, they did a good job of Jesus remaining quiet, silent. And so they kept beating him and beating him and beating him because he never cried out, stop, mercy, whatever. So. In Proverbs 31, and you said about the painkiller, that vinegar and whatever it was, but it was supposed to deaden the pain that on that sponge, and he didn't drink it. In Proverbs 31, starting at verse 2, Proverbs 31, the you think of the virtuous wife, but it starts out, what my son, oh, what son of my womb, what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor ways to the which that destroys kings. Think of Christ. Okay. I'm going to give you a new way to look at Proverbs 31 here real quick here. So think of Christ. He did not give himself to women, nor the which destroys kings, right? And neither did Joseph. Okay? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink. Okay? He did not, when they gave him that sponge with deadened pain, he actually rejected it. They put it up to his lips, but he didn't. Never says that he drank from it. Okay?
I have no verse
here. Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine,
go ahead and read it. Yeah.
That was the painkiller would have been, I think, myrrh.
Myrrh and something, yeah.
Like that.
So, yeah. Notice that was on hyssop, too. What was...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The other day I was reading and I noticed that.
Uh-huh.
And how they used hyssop to put the blood on the doorpost. And mm-hmm. They used a hyssop branch to give the
wine, yeah. So, now think about this with Christ. Now, it doesn't say anything about Joseph with wine in that. So we can assume he always stayed clear-minded and did not drink wine or much wine. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. So Christ stayed sharp in mind on the cross. Give strong drink to him who's perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. So the other prisoners took it. The other two took it, but Christ did not. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Now think of Christ again. Open your mouth. This is verse 8. Open your mouth for the speechless and cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So those first few verses, I always think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a way to think of verses 10 through 31. Does anybody know a woman, a wife, anybody's what? Your mother, does your grandmother, does she fit verses 10 through 31, all of it perfectly? Do you know of anyone? Do any of you young ladies fill that 10 through 31 perfectly yet? Okay. We were at a funeral of a friend of ours. She died of cancer. And the husband was talking about those verses. And he said, well, there's like three of the things she didn't quite fill. Okay? So he was considering a very virtuous wife. But that's still falling short, right? Here's the way I view it. And here's the way, just a different thought for you. Instead of an individual person, if those first nine verses represent Christ, who is the wife of Christ, the bride of Christ? We are the church. Now, think of the church fulfilling those 21 verses. Well, it'd actually be 22. Can the church fulfill all those other verses? Can we, as the body of Christ, where do you fit in to help fulfill two verses? new way to think of it. You can argue with me later. I mentioned J. Vernon McGee. One of the things he always said is, you can disagree with me. You have every right to disagree with me. You have every right to be wrong. So that was a joke. Anyway. So, anyway. No. Just ponder that one. If you come back next year, you can, after you've studied this out, you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Or you'll forget about it 5 minutes after you're out of this room, or 2 minutes after we go into the next subject. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
I didn't know if you're still interested, but I found the verse about the myrrh.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it's Mark 15:23. Mark. It says, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not.
But he received it not, yeah. Mark what? 15?
Mm-hmm, 23.
15:23. So he received it not.
I think it's interesting, number 37. Says Joseph desired to be remembered by the butler, as Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And just like how the butler forgot, and so often we forget and we go about our daily lives just not really thinking about what Christ has done for us until Sunday comes.
What is... Let's see if you guys catch on to this. What is the most important Sunday of the year? Oh, no, 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 no. Think in human terms of our flesh. No, 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 no. No, no. Oh, no, no, no. Christmas is not necessarily on a Sunday. In the United States of America, what's the most important Sunday of the
year?
Super Bowl Sunday. Who won last year's Super Bowl? Baltimore Ravens. Who did they play?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Who won the 1973 Super Bowl?
The Vikings.
And that would be wrong because the Vikings have played in what? 5, 6 Super Bowls and have never won. I'm old enough to remember that they didn't win some of those too. We all get fired up about the Super Bowl. And who can win? Who won? What? So that would have been the 2013. Who won the 2012 Super Bowl? Let's backtrack one. Green Bay Packers did. And who did they play in 2012? Who did Green Bay play in 20? Steelers. Okay. Okay. 2011.
That was Packers.
That was Packers, or was it Giants? Okay. Patriots. See, we can't really remember. We get all excited. Okay, we're going to be all excited about the 2014 Super Bowl, right? And we're not going to, and I mean, there's... Yeah, go Chiefs, yeah. So, but anyway, think about this. There's guys, there's... Right now, grade school guys, junior high guys, practicing and playing football, who will someday win the 2030 Super Bowl, okay? Right? 17 years from now. Okay? They're preparing now for some game in the future that 20 years from then, very few people will remember. Except if you lived in Chicago or you lived in... What year did Kansas City win the Super Bowl?
Oh, Super Bowl 4, I don't know the year. Wow, basically they had another
one. I'm actually old enough to remember that, but I don't remember what year it was, yeah.
Ask my dad, he would know.
He would know, yeah.
Yeah, he would.
But see, a lot of people don't even know Kansas City won a Super Bowl. They're bad. How could they ever win a Super Bowl?
They're horrible.
Yeah. Who was the quarterback? Who was the running back? I happen to know it was Ed Podolak. Now, I'm an Iowa State University fan. He went to the University of Iowa. So we got to live with that, okay? Who was the wide receivers? Who were on the offensive line? Yeah, so who? Now, James might remember when the Bears won the Super Bowl, who was on every position, but see?
The only time they were in, like, the past 5 years, they lost.
Okay. So it fades. The temporary things from fade. So why does Christ say, with this cup, remember me? We quickly forget, don't we? We quickly forget who won the most important game. Right? So I think DJ, that's an excellent one. You would think, guy said, hey, you're going to be out of here tomorrow. Your dream says you 3 days, you will be free. You think you would remember that, right? Very possibly God could have helped them forget that. Or very possibly God just used our own human failings and we forget something important. Oh yeah, I'll remember this. So there's a reason Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, as often. I've got to look at that word someday, often. How often is often?
Pretty often.
Daily? Twice a day? Is once a week enough? Think on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is it? 10:21. Anybody got anything else? Any other points? Otherwise, I'll just close with these thoughts. Okay. Can you be a Joseph, stand alone, when you truly are alone? Okay? Or do you go along with the crowd and one of his 10 brothers? Okay? I challenge you with this because most of us tend to go with the crowd. 10 of them went with the crowd, right? One stood alone. Standing alone is not an easy thing. So you guys are 17-ish, 16-ish, right? Average, 16, 17. So go out, get thrown in a pit.
Okay.
Make yourself slaves to Christ, okay? Become slaves to Christ. What does he want to teach you, okay? So, anyway, you guys get a little extra long break today. So, or we could stand here until 10:30 and have 7 minutes of silence on the tape that DJ has to remove. 7 minutes of awkward silence. So, okay. Before we close in prayer, I just wanted to say thank you, guys. Hopefully I did all right. But whatever good of it came that you liked, it was the Lord. And so we thank you. So, give God the glory for any word that has come upon you. Make a difference. I told Warren Henderson, there was a subject, I was on Voices for Christ. Guys, go to Voices for Christ if you like to listen to audio. Go to Voices for Christ. It's growing every day. They add speakers every day. You can search by subjects. You can search by passages. So if you want to look at a certain passage, but go to Voices for Christ, utilize it. It's a tremendous website. Some of the recording quality isn't too good because some of it's from old reel to reel. I went to listen to a Bill McDonald one time, and it must have been a reel to reel, and I could not understand it. My hearing is such I don't always hear everything very clearly. Now Jeremy Barker, who's paying close attention. Oh, no, just kidding. No, so some of you guys with good hearing could maybe understand what Bill McDonald's saying. I just couldn't. The recording quality, in fact, it said right on it, poor recording quality. So, but I just wanted to listen to Bill McDonald. I listened to one that was very helpful to me. There was a 10 series thing that was done by Dave Reed on hermeneutics and going through the Bible. So there's tremendous stuff out there. So if you'd like to listen to audio, listen to that audio. Utilize it. And but I told Warren Henderson I was on Voices for Christ. I don't even remember what there was a subject. It's Warren Henderson. So listen to it. And he was speaking here at Turkey Hill, and I don't know, this is a few years ago. And he starts out by telling how he played basketball on that concrete floor and how stiff and sore he was that day. And so I said, Warren, that's the only thing I remember. So hopefully what you remember here is not something like me burping my bananas yesterday. But something that some special from the Word of Christ, okay? So we'll close. Yeah, thanks for that picture, right, Esther? So we'll close in prayer, and then you guys can go. So thanks, guys, for coming. And Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of all, that there's many things to learn, even about the coming events, even as we go through the book of Genesis. You see the end from the beginning. When we're going through those trials, those, quote, 13 years, or however many years it is, that you're teaching us, and we trust that we can trust you, that you know the purpose. You have a purpose. You know the end. You know the end before the beginning. So we thank you and we praise you. Now may you bless the time, the rest of these time here at camp, the word that would penetrate our hearts, speak to us, and then also for all safe travels home. And Lord, may these young people be encouragement to their parents, helpful and encouraging and uplifting to one another. And thank you for the friendships that are made. In Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.